God praise. I'm building faith. And not with stories from 85 years ago, 3,000 years ago. I'm talking that are right now present to the people you see and can look face to face, eyeball to eyeball. And if I get it wrong, you can go up to ask them, is what that preacher say true? Huh? Because there's nothing better than real life witness and experience of people that know it for themselves. So nobody can tell you you didn't get saved, because if they weren't there, their opinion doesn't matter. It matters that you were there. How many were right there when you got saved? That's why you got saved, because if you weren't there, you wouldn't have been saved. Hallelujah. How many are right there when you got filled with the Holy Ghost? You heard your own self speak in other tongues and feel the fire. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, prophetess blows my mind. Praise and worship. She's up here prophesying. And so I'm asking the Lord whether I need to preach. Because I didn't share with her what I was going to preach. Put it up there, Corey. I did not share with her what I was going to preach. Jesus is the heart at every Christmas. I'm going to be talking about the heart and love if I can get to it. She's already preached half of my message in praise and worship. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. See, this is for real stuff. How can I help me, Lord? How can I break it down? Well, let me go after the world first. Let me hammer the spirits that hold people bondage and keep trying to make them depressed at this wonderful season of rejoicing and celebration. See, we live in a societal culture that has set a course to erase Christ, the cancel culture, to erase Christ from Christmas. So strong that if you are not careful, you will ease into its agenda without being aware of its insidious evil of compromise that's cloaked in the current of being tolerant of others and being relevant to your generation. It creeps in so subtle that some do not even realize that they've eaten the poison of the dishonor, until the focus of this holy season has been shifted from a dedication and a dedicated Jesus is the reason for the season over to some kind of mention of lip service with actions that prioritize everything else first and leave the Savior standing outside the celebration. They'll leave the Savior dishonored and not worshiped on the most holy time of the year. Because you see, for us to be saved, we needed Resurrection Sunday. But for Resurrection Sunday to come, we needed him to get born first. And not just born of anybody, but born by a miracle of God. See, this thing comes in to dishonor the Lord. Many Christians do not even know this toxin of the culture has poisoned them until you look at the events planned for the day of Christmas, or at least the eve of Christmas. When the culture says, oh, don't be so religious to worship God in person at the gathering of the saints on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. So many give over to family, friends, worldly culture that wants to deny us by our own compromised choice the benefit of worship and celebration of Jesus coming into the world. And without him coming into the world as the miracle of virgin birth, there is no joy to the world. There is no peace on earth, goodwill to men. Without it, there's total chaos and sin. And I'm going to tell you that everything that we have suffered in life has not been at the hands of the Lord. It's not been because the Lord was looking the other direction, but because of evilness of sin amongst men. When abuse happens, it's not because Jesus or God has failed. It's because the evil of somebody's heart. Because if they were serving God for real, whether they're pretending or a pretend preacher, in the pulpit going through the motions and can't live it at home, I'm here to wreck some stuff today to get us into a celebration. Hallelujah. We're not going to be great pretenders. We know Jesus for real. He's a real Jesus that loves real people, who have he has real answers for your real trouble. Jesus. At the time, we must be careful, because if we're not celebrating, we'll fall into the very thing that the enemy tries to use. He's going to use grief against people. He's going to use loneliness against people. He's going to use bad economic things against people. He's going to use not even having gifts, poverty against people. There's folks that are looking to whether they're even going to be able to afford a Christmas dinner by themselves. In America, and all because the world wants to get rid of Jesus, and we had great pretenders, but get the pretenders out, and you find, and get other people cleaned up, you find that the celebration is going to be absolutely off the charts, because folks, we're here at the end of 2021, and I will be real with you, 2020 was hard on my mind. I told the men last night, I said, when the men's Christmas party on last year, I was a dud. I couldn't hardly get up to play a game, do nothing, because I'd been in war all year long. Warring in the spirit, warring against COVID and the pandemic, praying for people's healings, warring against chaos and upheaval and injustice and violence, warring against the things that were coming against the church. And I was to the place where it was starting to wear so much on me, I said, why can't I even celebrate? Folks, you must be careful that you don't have all your energy stripped out of you. There must be something that inside of you that causes such a rejoicing that you can look and say, I thank God for God. I thank God for Jesus and the day he was born. I thank God for you. I thank God for... In a pandemic, I thank God for that. Don't you, Miss Brenda? Thank God. Because last year she was wearing oxygen for almost a whole year. She thanks God up here that she's able to breathe. Turn to somebody and said, the enemy tried to take me out, but Jesus kept me in. And I'm not accepting anything on my mind but the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me. My soul cries out, hallelujah. How many think it's all right for me to tell the truth? Get it out in the airwaves. Hallelujah. It's the miracle of a virgin birth. By siding with the world or family or not standing unshakable, we deny ourselves, our children, and our families the in-person gathering of the believers in the presence of a holy God on the time given to express and to draw the difference that states emphatically that Christmas is still about Jesus Christ, not X'd out. I refuse to that Merry Xmas. No, get rid of it. Put Christ right in it. If the name Jesus Christ offends you, it's because you don't know him. You have been bit with the toxin that is trying to destroy your positive outcome. Because when you know Jesus and he wraps his arms of love around you and forgives you, you fall out and smile too. Hallelujah. Praise God. Turn to somebody and say, he's been good to me. Mighty good to me. Why be relevant and easily persuaded away from my Savior? Just follow your own train of thinking for a minute on how you plan out Christmas Eve service. Our very faithful folks will always show up on Christmas Eve for at least 1 hour of Christmas Eve service. Now, when I was raised up, there was some African-American churches making us half-white, half-black church look pretty bad around Christmas. Because on Christmas Day, no matter what they had planned, they were there for Christmas breakfast, and they were still shouting at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They do their family stuff after they got out of church. We was tugging on the Pentecostal preacher called my dad. When we gonna, especially when Christmas fell on Sunday. If there's a war in your mind about Christmas on Sunday, 2022, I'm preaching ahead of time. It falls on 2022. You better rearrange your family. You better tell them a year ahead of time. On 2022, on Sunday, if you want to spend Christmas morning with me, you're coming to my church. We're going to celebrate Jesus together. And if that offends you, you don't get to eat at my house till after I get back. Where did the shift happen that the body of Christ has to bow down to the world? And that why? Because they mocked us. They came against us, confronted us, told us we were crazy, we were out of touch, it's old stuff. And we started to feel bad about them putting us on guilt trips. Or we got so busy with life that we didn't know what to prioritize. I tell you, one of my bosses said, it's going to be mandatory for you to work on Sunday, and you got to work on Christmas. I told my boss, said, I'm not going to be here. Write me up if you want to. I have a religious duty, a relationship with Christ. I'm going to celebrate the Lord on his birthday. Now, next year, I'm turning 60, and I got a whole bunch of invites to put out for my 60th birthday. But here's the way I've grown up, and here's the way I feel it. So I want to let you know so that the new folks know. Now, the older folks know where I'm going with this already, and they can already tell the story. On my 60th birthday party coming up in July, if everybody shows up and gives gifts to everybody else and don't give me nothing, and I'm paying for the food, y'all getting out the door, this party's over. Going around, Brandon and Ava handing each other. I'm not if it's on my birthday and they don't even have nothing my name on it. I'm not as gracious as Jesus. And neither are you. I mean, be real. On your birthday, they show up at your house and give gifts to everybody else, and you get absolutely nothing but your food aid and a mess afterwards. How many are not so gracious and have to pray through? If it's good enough for us, it's even better to set the Lord at a higher standard. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. The gifts can wait because the greatest gift is the reason why there's any gift at all under the tree. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You just say amen, ouch, ooh, me, whatever. I don't care. I'm preaching it this morning. Hallelujah. It's going to fall, and that's where it's going to be the mandate. You're going to have folks go, can you be with me on this? Can you be way over there? And leave the house of the Lord empty on the Lord's birthday. Or cause the few faithful to feel bad because there's a few. This is why churches have moved up their Christmas. Moved it all the way up to the first Sunday of the month. All the way to the second Sunday. Get as far away from Christmas as possible. Because people, human people, are not dedicated to what they say they believe. We're in a decade that's designed to take out all of the weak Christians completely out of the picture. It is designed to take the church down from shutdowns to control to mandates to anything under the sun to people relearning the habits of how to be so easy when they can be. If you're in this town and got any energy in you, you show up on Sunday morning at the minimum. And my minimum is Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Hallelujah. Unless you're sick, call the elders. How is it that some people sick and we don't know nothing about it? Till they miss for a while. Ain't called for the elders. The Bible says call for the elders. Come pray the prayer of faith. Prayer of faith shall raise you up and you will be healed. No call, guess you want to be sick. Oh, I'm playing with this because I know what the enemy is out to do against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right at the time in this decade when 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds and 22-year-olds in the generation that the enemy wants to steal forever are coming to Christ. Oh, I'm going to put my shout out on Christmas morning. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. High five somebody if say I will too. I refuse to give in to an Antichrist spirit that tries to creep into the Jesus culture. No, I declare today that there are still those that are even in this room and around the world and all across America who know that loving Jesus has no compromise. I'm mad at sister or brother and pew number four. I was mad at my brothers and sisters too, but I still sat down at the table and ate, or otherwise I was going to my room without supper. We spiritually eat. Oh, I just ended in a fight with my brother. We had to come to the table and act like we weren't in a fight. Because if we done showed mom and daddy we'd been in a fight, there's going to be another backside warming. That would have made the fight look light. And now we love each other and we'll fight for each other. May not agree completely with each other, but we're family. I'm going to look to somebody and say, we're family. After all, you got to love me because you don't know if my mansion is right next to yours. For all eternity. Oh, we better love each other. Praise God. God, can you move them? I don't really like them moving to the other side of heaven. Nope. You got to love your brother and sister. I declare to you, there's still a people who are genuine enough to be unmovable, honor the Lord, unshakable of their appreciation for their Savior and their God. See, because I hear a rumble of an army that through all the smoke of confrontation and mockery and put down, you still have the power to march to the rhythm of the heartbeat of a risen Savior who came as a baby born to a virgin over the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit, depositing the word of God in a completely fused baby. Don't say confused. Fused baby. All man, all God. Not half man, half God. We don't have a centaur savior, half horse, half man. All man, all God. That when you give your heart and life to the Lord, you become, and Jesus on the inside, you become all man and all God. How can you say that? How can you say that, preacher? Well, let's just look just real fast. Jesus Christ, God the Son. His Father is Yahweh, God the Father. Holy Ghost is God the Holy Ghost. Their family name is God. Turn to somebody and say, my name is, say your first name, your last name, and your kingdom family name, God. That's what makes us brothers and sisters. So I am Donald Joseph McClintock, God. And she's Lolita Ayala Bear, God. How are we brothers and sisters? Because of our family name, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, if you ain't heard that before, you just got something new right there. If you have heard it before, shout hallelujah because it's true. You see, in the kingdom of God, it's not the same as the world system. There is a culture that's powerful. There is something, and I was bragging on you while you're in the back because you preached half my message. I didn't talk to you about what I was preaching. Hallelujah, at all. I was off to myself. And the strange thing was we were doing so much and getting ready yesterday for the men's Christmas fellowship and everything. And stuff was going on. All of a sudden, I hear my wife's voice, and I come running from all the other stuff. I had Christmas music on. I was preparing food, and I had Crystal and stuff. And I run in there, and I say, do you need something? She goes, what do you mean? I said, I heard you call my name. And she goes, no, no, and she starts laughing. She goes, not exactly. I was just telling the Lord, I miss my husband. Can I have my husband? She didn't say, and in the kitchen, and you know how big our house is, paid for, praise God, hallelujah. On the other side of the house, I hear her voice through the music. Call honey. And I I dropped everything, didn't care if it was going to burn or what, because I was in the middle of it. Hallelujah. I was feeding Crystal, and I had food on the plate, and I left it on the plate. Amen. And run in. It used to be I'd have gobbled up and said, I'll be there in a minute. Ran in and said, do you need anything? And she said, no. She started laughing at me. Said, I just prayed to the Lord. You know, I need my husband. And the Lord had her voice call me by our pet name on the other side of the house. Freaky. Absolutely freaky. But it's real cool. I'm talking to both sides. I'm talking to those who already know, and I'm talking to those who don't know that need to know. Hallelujah. And so we had not talked about anything. Praise the Lord, and I got it going. Hallelujah. But you started singing about the heart. You started singing about, we had not compared notes, nothing. Praise the Lord. I'm gonna read then what I got. All right, Matthew chapter 24, verses 12 through 14. Would you stand for the reading of the word? We'll have you stand just for this one, and I'll read the others. And then I'm winding it up already, because I've already preached my introduction and the main meat. Here we go. Let's say it out loud together. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world, so that all nations will hear it. Then the end will come. Notice that because of sin, love for God and love for Jesus grows cold. When you don't have sin in your life, your love for Jesus gets the opposite. The opposite of colder is hotter. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. See, in the kingdom, there's four main principles. Everyone shout out this with me. Love! That's what I'm preaching about today. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. Honor. Everything's on an honor system. He gives Adam and Eve and gives Adam a command, and he leaves Adam on an honor system not to do the thing he told him not to do. It's an honor system. It's a test. But honor is where you give and you show. Even when other people aren't around, you still show those things. So we honor the Lord with everything we do and everything we have. Four is seed time and harvest. If you don't plant love, you don't get love in return. If you don't plant mercy, you don't get mercy in return. If you don't plant seed, gentlemen, in your wife, you don't get children. And so everything, seed time, harvest, not just money. Everything. You don't plant corn seeds, you don't get corn. If you plant tomatoes, you don't get watermelon. Everything you plant is according to its kind. And if you want something in your life, you got to plant it. Not look for everybody else to plant it in you. How do you break depression? Go to somebody who's depressed and plant in them what you think you need, and watch God double it, and you'll get back. You're sad? See somebody that's sad? Go help them be happy, and you'll be happy. All of a sudden, the joy will hit you. If you see somebody poor and you don't want to be poor, give to that person, even of what you have. You have one can of beans, split it in half and help somebody eat the other half of the beans and share with them, and God will send you somebody with a six-pack of beans, not beer. Whatever you plant is what you'll harvest. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's right. My love grows stronger. Shout it with me. My love grows stronger and then hotter. My love for Jesus will not grow cold. Say this with me. My love for Jesus will not grow cold, rather hotter, especially in this celebration holy season. Because Jesus is the reason for the season. If there is no birth of Christ, there is no Christmas. If there's no Christmas, then how many of our giant corporations who don't believe in the Bible and who don't love Jesus would go under? They call it Black Friday week on purpose. It's not a racial statement. It's getting their business in the black rather than in the ink at the end of the year. It's an accounting term that we need Christmas, or we will not be able to keep people on the new year. got Mother's Day. We got the flowers. The flower business is going to be good. We got flowers and candy. And we got candy at Halloween. But if we don't have Christmas and people giving to other people, we just don't want them given to Jesus. Because they know, and they're trying to X Jesus out. And if they're not careful, they're going to X themselves right out of business when God's people finally move over and start starting their own businesses and doing things correctly. If there's a Christian business that's got integrity, support them. Hallelujah. And so somebody shout, my praise gets hotter in December. That's how I keep the icicles off my nose. I get my praise so hot, Frosty can't stand around me. Hallelujah. Somebody shout, my worship grows intimately stronger. My prayer grows in close fellowship. I refuse to compromise to the world. So our first verses we read was Jesus, our Lord, his own quotes. Let's read some more quotes from the Lord. We love and are growing hotter. Here it is. If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, an advocate, who will never leave you. Somebody say, Holy Ghost, I ain't never alone. Right? He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him. If they don't know Jesus, they cannot receive him. Because it isn't looking for him and doesn't know how to recognize him. And I'm going to get to another part of that verse in just a minute. But the proof of love is in pursuit. How can you pursue something you can't see? I'm going to pull that out in the next 10 minutes. He's an invisible God. Here's what the world has a problem with. They come up in church, and they look at people praising God and talking to God, and they look around and go, where's God? Well, them crazy people, they're talking in the air. Ain't nobody there. I can't see him. He's an invisible God. The day you see him, you'll be judged. I was witnessing on the streets of the high school in Alton, and we were talking about the love of Jesus. And right at that time, a guy that had just been smoking some marijuana very seriously, he come up just at the time that a guy had asked me a question. And the guy had asked me a question on this side. He said, if the Lord loves us so much, how come we can't see him? And the Lord gave me an answer. Because the day you see him is the day you'll be judged. And if there's an ounce of sin in you that's not covered with the blood of Jesus, your flesh will melt right off of your spirit, man. And that young man that had been smoking that stuff, whoa, because he hallucinated exactly what I said. And he said, "Here's something. That's a pretty powerful God. Where do I sign up?" How do you love somebody you can't see? We have love. Sometimes we have trouble loving folks. We can see them. See, love has actions with the words. Love is not just words only. And love's not actions and not the words. Love is both words and actions that are constant. Love is a treasure builder, not a person tear downer. Love will reach out to you and build a treasure in you. How many feel it when somebody says, I love you, and you know that it's real and it's true? Starts to build a treasure. Why? Because you're worth loving. And somebody has recognized that you are, even though the world can't see it, they see you as a number, they just see you as thing, just any old thing just to make their ends meet. But when somebody, I'm not talking about sex. I'm not talking about somebody say, I love you, baby, just so I can get this and leave you. 82 mama daddies and 15 exes and stuff. That's confusion to the kids. Now, when folks are out in the world, that's normal, and we got to get them saved. We repair all that, and the Lord starts repairing all that family there. But when you're saved, shouldn't have to be all that mess up. Man, I could write my own drama with family. Both of us came from broken homes, Christian broken homes, and then repaired broken homes. And then in the process of it, it was kind of a twist. So I had to ask my wife after I got married, I said, what do I call your aunt? Because she's really my stepmom by marriage, because she married your daddy and over here. And I was like, So do I call your cousin my half almost baked brother? I don't know what. It was confusing, and I'm an adult. Here's my mom, here's my dad, here's my half mom, my half dad. And now the world's trying to make it worse till you don't even know what to call them. Because if you put down an X because they don't want to show the gender, and you go, that's my ex. X what? Were you married to them? It's confusion. We have to have some standard that builds people up, not from the standards of this world. This world is messing it all up. We need to do it by the Bible way and keep it straight. And let the Lord mend and heal everything else that the world messed up. Amen? The love of Jesus is a treasure builder in you. He goes on to say, but you know him, the Holy Spirit, because he lives with you now and later will be in you. After that the Holy Ghost came, he is now in us. So if I'm a believer and I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost, I have the Holy Spirit in me, with me, on me, through me, all around me. Hallelujah. Give God a praise. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. See, the reason this statement is, you have no ability to obey God for real if you don't have a love relationship with Jesus. You'll revert to self every time. You'll pretend every time. You'll go through the motions and learn the church speech and learn how to, and then walk out and not have anything. When you're real with the Lord and love him for real, obeying the commandments, the love is the power to obey those commandments. And then he said, because you love me, my Father will love them. Now, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's how he showed that he loved people enough to save. But we're talking about in the family now. How many have some folks come dinner time that they need to go to their house for dinner? How many of us, there's just certain times, you can invite strangers, but people don't just throw open the door and come on in. I smelt supper. It's time for supper. And you go, who are you? Who are you? Where do you think you're just coming in the door? Family and invited guests come through that door. Now, if you had asked me and you were hungry at the door, I'm compassionate enough, I would feed you. I'd bring you in and feed you. But you don't know. Come stumbling on in and say, what you got for me? Let's start this process over. It's called honor, respect, dignity, right? And so family. This is talking about some of the benefits of family that's being revealed. But he goes on in 1 John. John takes this up because he takes it a little further in his older age. He said, how can we love God whom we cannot see? Somebody say, here's how I love a God I cannot see. He's given us this commandment. Those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. So the way we prove that we love an invisible God is by how we love the God in our brothers and sisters. And love them as our brothers and sisters. And then it goes back and love them as ourselves, because they go beyond neighbor. Now they're brothers and sisters. And so there's a love. What does that love mean? Everybody's got different expectations of what love is. But whatever the Lord says, whatever you want done for you, give it to someone else. Love someone else the same way you want to be treated. Love someone else the same way you want to be blessed. Love someone else with that same honor. And when you do, it shows back up in your life. Amen? And so he says we must, because when we love folks who we can see, we are proving that we are loving someone who's invisible. So somebody shout, I will grow deeper in love with my Jesus. I will love whoever he loves. I will love all that he loves. My words and actions will be his love expressed stronger. How are the world going to see? How do they see somebody they can't see? Jesus says to his disciples, the world will know you are my disciples and that you've been with me by how you love one another. Amen. Then when you love them and reach out to them, they'll believe you. Amen. Because you love one another, they'll go, hey, look at that. Are y'all brothers and sisters? You don't know how many times folks come up and say different ones. Are you brother? Are you sister? And yes, even across the races, we get them because we're still all one human race. I just loved it. Back early on, we were walking out of Cheddar's, and I was walking next to Miss Gadria, person, and Mr. Randy was walking next to my wife, and this Lily White Toad Frog religious person was coming around to go into Cheddar's and saw two mixed couples. That's what she saw, and her face just looked all bright. And I just looked at her, and I said, oh, did you get confused? Oh, she's not my wife. She's my sister. And it just perplexed her even more because she didn't have love in her heart. But I hope it broke a spring, and she had to go back and pray about it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, when we love God, we will love the things he loves. And we'll love the days he loves. We'll love the worship service he loves. We'll love the people he loves. We'll love whatever he loves. Because we're not in love with the world. So if the Lord is in love with something, I want to be in love with that. Amen. That's how everyone's going to know. Because if my love is just like Jesus' love, they'll learn the love of Jesus by how I'm loving like he loves. Isn't that the way we all should do? So here's what Jesus loves. Jesus loves God the Father. How many love God the Father too? And whatever Father says, we'll do. All right? Jesus loves God's children. How many love God's children? Praise the Lord. Turn to somebody and say, even though you're an adult, if you're Jesus' child, you're child of the King. Yep, you're God's children. I'm going to love on you. Right? Jesus loves his body, the church. If Jesus loves the church, I got to love the church. And not just the preacher, everybody in the pew. If Jesus loves the church, every believer's got to love the church. And everybody that's in the church. Is that right? Also, Jesus loves saving souls. Shouldn't you love Jesus? You love it when souls get saved. It causes a celebration to come up in you because the Bible says even the angels rejoice. So when somebody gets saved, we want to rejoice in that salvation. Hallelujah. And then remember those wonderful testimonies. Now, I love testifying about how I got saved. I'm not going to do it today because I ain't got time. But I got saved a little over 3 years old. For real, with a bona fide miracle afterwards. And now coming up, since I'm 59 and it's past the 1st of October, just do the math, I've been saved for 56 years. Well, to a younger generation, 56 is like, oh, you rode a dinosaur. But when we see young people giving their heart and life to God and to Jesus for real, at this age, when they didn't even have it before to do it, and then now they do, that's a testimony that speaks directly to that generation right now. Jesus loves saving souls. Jesus loves faith. He loves with action. And this action destroys the work of the enemy. I had to ask the Lord. I said, I almost put down, Jesus loves to destroy the works of the enemy. And I said, Lord, is that what you really love? Because that's not really the way that's the way I was putting it right at first when I was, Jesus loves, because, man, I get juiced into destroying the works of the adversary. So do you love that? He says he loves the action, which is the action of faith in his people that matches what he did, destroys the works of the enemy. Every time you become a work of the enemy destroyer, whether it be you encouraged somebody and you destroyed discouragement out of their life. You helped somebody get saved and it brought them to a change. Hallelujah. Whether you've testified or whatever you've shared, wherever you go, if you help to relieve a burden off of somebody, if you, I know that poor lady that was in the wheelchair and going through the Walmart and could not reach and didn't even have a chance to ask, when I went up and I said, as I looked and seen that she was looking up, is there some way that I can help you? I don't work at Walmart. It's not my job description. They don't pay me. But it is my Christian prescription of what I do, description of what I do. Honey, you look at it. Yeah, that box right there between those two, there's no way I can reach that, and I don't see anybody here. I sure would appreciate it. Can you do that? I said, absolutely. The Lord made me. The good Lord made me this tall to be able to reach up there and help somebody. She goes, I sure am glad the Lord made somebody tall. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It relieved a stress off of her of a provision that was something she couldn't do. And so I became the agent of the Lord and answer to prayer. I don't know if she said, Lord, can you just help me? She may not even utter those words, but the Lord showed grace by sending us any talent you have that helps relieve a burden off of somebody, especially during this holiday season, to help them celebrate, to help them climb higher. Hallelujah. There was a family that I heard of that they had several children and they were not going to have a Christmas this year, but just food stamps. But they shared a testimony because they were watching online. They've been watching online and said, Apostle, it was last week, from last week, can I just share one of those marvelous Mondays? We were watching our marvelous Monday video that my wife and I did. Such joy came over us sharing the testimonies. Said, I just want to share with you that not only does something free up in our finances, but we learned that someone is going to adopt our kids for Christmas. Hallelujah. Here's the trick. And I'm not the one who put my name in. Someone else put the name in out of compassion, and they called me. I was not even expecting it. How many knows that's the Lord showing love around? Let the Lord be, let him make you a love agent. Let him make you a love agent. Turn to somebody and say, be a love agent. Be a love agent. Last week, the power of the Lord moved through here on the Sunday night, and we started giving holy hugs. And the Lord, I said, Lord, that's something. Or was it Sunday morning? Sunday morning, I hugged Brother Al's dad, Brother Liddell, back here. And all of a sudden, and he just held on. And the Lord said, hug him because preachers have been so isolated that they have nobody to really grab a hold of and say, I love you and embrace. And then as I stepped back to the pulpit, I started looking out and I saw bunches of people. And there were a few of them with tears in their eyes. And there were some folks. Hadn't had a hug in a long time. Come on, Apostle. A long time. The Lord built us. If you don't have that baby touched, that baby will come up with all sorts of disorders and will hate life if it doesn't have contact. And there's a lot of people that will go through this Christmas season hugless. And if they go through hugless, it will not be good for them. So please be sensitive. Even if a person looks sad, say, can I give you a hug because I want to help lift you up a little bit. There was a couple, where was that at, baby? It was online, and they were out at a place, and this couple, a husband and wife, actually said, free dad and mom hugs at a college. Their own kids are at the college, and they are out at the college, and they just have a sign up, free dad and mom hugs. Hundreds of young people. Hundreds were coming up and getting a hug and not know, because it was a good-looking couple. They were very well off, probably. But they were giving away hugs, and for real, Christian folks giving away hugs, and you would have thought, well, maybe one or two. No, once one or two had a hug and it changed their countenance, people were coming because their moms and dads had not given them a hug. They hadn't had a hug. They were starved for love. Right. Turn to somebody and say, I'm going to be a love agent. Because my love for Jesus is getting hotter. I love who Jesus loves. I love what Jesus loves. And I love with a faith action that destroys the works of the adversary. So will your heart grow stronger in love with Christ Jesus this holiday season? How will it grow stronger? By helping somebody else. As Christian believers, do not wait to have five people sign up to give you something. Start giving. The generosity of Christ is already in you. Give love, give a smile, give an encouragement. Whatever that you can give to help someone, and watch how much returns back. Would you do that experiment with me? We started it inadvertently by the power of the Holy Spirit upon last week. Would you be conscious to those that you give away and say, you know what? I gave away five hugs this week and six words of encouragement. I invited four people to church during the holiday season. I'm going to show up every single Sunday myself. I'm going to love the people that are in the church. I'm going to and start making a mental note. How much love can you pour out and be a love agent? Folks, we don't know. We got Omicron, COVID. We got folks with round two. We got vaccinated folks getting hit again and sick as dogs. Oh, yeah, in Springfield, surrounding area. All right. They're probably going to put on their COVID misinformation. It's not. Got it straight. A family had a Thanksgiving. A vaccinated person got it from vaccinated work. All vaccinated work. All the workers mandatory vaccinated. Brought it home to the Thanksgiving. All the vaccinated folks, sick as dogs, with COVID. One person, unvaccinated, who had never had it in the first place, got sick. Not too bad. The three unvaccinated who already had COVID last December, no symptoms, no nothing, breathing perfectly, healthy as can be. Not misinformation, real life testimony of a real family we know right here in the Springfield area. Now, I'm not against folks that are at risk getting vaccinated. But I'm letting you know it's busting through those barriers that people have told that you had to have. And the folks that are taking the vitamins and taking the prayer and taking the other stuff. And yes, we've had some good people that were I'm not getting the vaccination die in the last month. One of them, the head of Daystar, Marcus Lamb, lost him. This thing is run. I'm here to tell you that unless you do what God says do and are doing the things that are necessary, keep using the hand sanitizer. Just being clean. Don't cough on people. Just being clean. If you're sick and you're sick, don't spread it around. Ask for people to pray for you. And that's what other people are starting to do. Let's use the things we know are good common sense and wisdom. Let's use faith and wisdom. No matter if it's the next one, whether it be Zeta Beta. They start having to add names to it like hurricanes that go past the name chart. It don't matter. There's always going to be sickness and disease as long as there is sin in the world. As long as there's humans doing stuff that's unclean, you're going to have sickness and disease. But we still have a healer. That's what's good news. And we may lose some along the way. We almost lost Brenda. But she's here today. We thank God every day she's here today. Heather had it pretty bad. Not as bad as Brenda, but had it pretty bad. But turned around. I'm here to tell you, saints, that we need to grow hotter and stronger with our love for Christ and let the beaming light of love shine, because people are going to be facing stuff. When the Lord told us this decade was different, this decade is taking on a thing. And if we don't shine the light, and we don't show the love, and we don't have the joy, and we don't celebrate, there's going to be folks that can't handle the weight. We got to have enough good to pass around to everybody. So again, I ask, will your heart grow stronger in the love of Jesus this holiday season? If so, shout amen. Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord, for every person in this place. I thank you, Lord, that Jesus is at the heart of Christmas. I thank you, Lord, that anybody that doesn't know you as their personal Savior can be part of the family of God. That no matter what happens in this earth, whether people live or whether people die, their eternity will be forever set with you. That, Lord, they won't have to wonder what's going to happen to them afterwards. That they'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are with you when they receive you as their Lord and Savior. And it's just as simple as what Josh did last Sunday night. Lord, Jesus, forgive me my sin. I turn everything over to you. And the power of the Lord comes. The Holy Spirit comes to rinse those sins by the blood of Jesus, that you can say, I'm a believer now. Jesus has saved me. And joy will fill your heart and your face. And you'll know him for real. Amen. God bless you. And if you've prayed that prayer, and if you prayed any salvation prayer all throughout this entire broadcast, please get a hold of us so that we can celebrate with you your conversion into the family of God. Somebody give God praise for all those who come to Christ. Amen. I'm going to explain one thing really fast. Next week we will put forth our I Love You Jesus campaign. The Lord gave me this. And this is a powerful tool to take kingdom finance and point it, because the Lord wants to do miracles. And how many knows that when we plant seed, the Lord does great things? I hope you can read this. Next week we will have forms that you will put your name up at the top where it says name. All right? We'll get you a copy of it. But here are the four dates. These are crucial. Jesus' birthday gift during this time of December before the end of the month. Resurrection seed, the time of Resurrection Sunday. Fire and glory seed, which is Pentecost. And then Father's Day seed, which has to do with honoring the Father. If you begin to target your seed as a pledge, God will start getting you the seed. He said, I give seed to sowers. How many are already sowers? You're already sowers. That means God will get seed to the sowers and increase you so that you will have the seed to be able to give. Next week, you will put that up and you'll put down and you'll pray over it and put in there what the Lord wants you to give. Now, here's what some people do. Some people say, well, I don't have that in my budget. Seed sometimes isn't exactly what's in your budget if you know the seed giver is going to give you the seed. Now, an Old Testament covenant promise was meaning that you would do it. This seed is, if God gets to me this is what I feel in the spirit he wants me to give. And if he gets it to me, I'll give it. And then sometimes a little delayed, like Miss Kim. Miss Kim had that, she said, Apostle, can I get it in? Even though it was delayed, the seed was delayed, can I still get it in? I said, absolutely. The blessing, and it was from additional that she didn't have before. Some can come with what you already have. It could be a starter seed of what you already have that you put forward. But then you put forward more. As a church, as a whole, now I know it says 100 up here, I got to change it. The goal is 60,000. 60,000. I've got a marker in the spirit that I want to see a blessing of seed, six of all of us together, $60,000. Turn around here and say, man, that'd be a miracle from God. But we're a miracle church. And won't he do it? And Jesus is a miracle worker and miracles in this place. If he can be a miracle healer and a miracle saver and do miracles in people, how many knows he can do it financially too? I just gave you, that was a wonderful testimony of Quentin and praise the Lord, getting that 4,000 after the seed was sown. Well, if God, after a seed, put a starter seed on it so the seed can grow. And we will have that. And I don't want there to be any confusion. Next week, that's going to happen. Say amen. Amen. And then you're going to put on the back four miracles that you're believing for in 2022, or as quick as God wants to do them. A spiritual miracle. It might be somebody you've been praying for to get saved. An emotional miracle. There might be something that needs to be broke off of you. A relationship that needs to be healed. Physical, there might be a need to be a healing in your body. Financially, because you're giving seed financially, you got to put down a financial miracle because you're sowing in that kind and or any other. When that seed is put in the ground, I'm going to begin to fast and pray and lay on these cards in my living room, eating carpet, for God's miracles to happen in your life. I feel him so strong. When you were singing the miracles in the place, I was saying, Lord, who's next? Who's next? I got testimonies. I don't know. I'm a little greedy. I want to know, who's the next testimony going to have? Who's the next miracle? Who's the next person going to have something God does that no man can explain? Who's the wheelchair person that's going to get up? Who's the amputated leg that's going to grow out? Who's the next blind eye that's going to open? Who's the next cancer that's going to be totally removed and eradicated completely out of their bodies? Who's the next marriage that's going to be healed? Who's the next person God's going to raise up? Hallelujah. What's God want to do next? Who's he going to do it for next? And that's what I love you, Jesus. Campaign. We're going to give of our life substance. He's going to bless us back financially and with more. Now I want you to know something. You're not buying anything. It is seed time and harvest. If you give, you receive. And when you give, he causes you to receive back bigger. See, it would have been, you gave that offering and it got back the same as what you gave. Okay, that's God, but when it's quite a bit many more times, you know, hey, God's, oh, look at this. And God wants to get glory for it. And then we want to see souls come to Christ. Somebody say, Jesus is at the heart of every Christmas. And he's in my heart during this Christmas season. Would you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. Spirit of the living God, I thank you for these precious people. Lord, your moving of your spirit, the love of your spirit, I thank you, Lord. I rebuke every spirit of the adversary that would try to harm God's people and the church and the believers in America and every nation on this planet. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And I release life. Come on, people, help me. I release life. I release health. I release well-being. I release a strong mind. I release the spirit of love. I release a spirit of celebration. I release joy. I release peace. I release it in the name of Jesus. I release faith. I release faith in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Go ahead and put those hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now turn to three people before you seated. Say, I release love to you. I release love to you. Know that you are loved. Release love to you in the name of Jesus. Then you may be seated in Jesus' name.